And we're usually pretty good.
Okay, first off, I'm going to need to find paper.
Probably.
And second off, we're gonna have like sheets like this for.
Oh yeah, next week I'm gonna actually bring full character sheets, and I'll see if a friend of mine can modify them because there's a couple of things on the character sheet that don't apply to the Old West and have their own replacements. Yeah.
Nothing. I always put my hand in the sunlight.
Why?
You're being a dork. Because
if you look at the base character sheet, drive is not a thing in the Old West, but it's replaced with ride. Computers aren't a thing in the Old West. They're replaced with culture.
Like a cult, but more in depth.
Well, no, it actually applies to, like, cultures. Like, basically a knowing...
Native American.
Yeah, and knowing about different groups, like the Irish immigrants, the Chinese, the Native Americans, that would be a culture check.
Native Americans, that's my thing.
Now, and there are two things that apply specifically to Hunter. One is intuition. In fact, it's actually on the revised character sheet, the fan-made 20th anniversary version I found. I'm going to need to add it in.
Okay.
But intuition is a talent that hunters have at will. It's easily available to hunters. Now, technically, any character can use it, but hunters are the ones who have it more reliably. Mm-hmm. Because it's intuition, they use it more often.
Are you sealing your blanket back?
And also, under skills for hunters is demolitions.
Bluey's.
Kablooey, indeed.
Something I would take particular interest in.
Yeah, normally.
So, but I'm going to go over all 9 of the Hunter Creeds. I'm also going to explain the imbuing. Every character, every type of creature has its own version of becoming one of them. The vampires have the embrace. Werewolves and mages have awakening. Hunters have the imbuing. And it's actually somewhat similar to mages. In fact, there are multiple theories as to the creation of hunters. There's one that my friends and I subscribe to, and there are 2 distinct ones in World of Darkness canon, one of which is technically more canon than the other.
But they're both terrible. Excuse me, the one that is that one the more canon one? The one with the demons?
Oh, that's the less canon one.
Oh, okay.
The more canon one is the one relating back to Kindred of the East.
Oh.
Kindred of the East is a really obscure game line where you're basically playing as the Asian variant of vampires, where you're not actual vampires. You are put back in your own body with, like, a demon riding onto your soul, but it's not a demon, it's actually a type of spirit, and you get powers, and you have to balance out your like, different aspects of your spirit for different powers. It's weird. I don't understand the Kuei-Jin.
Sounds like Death Note.
But yeah, actually, the Kuei-Jin are in lore lines. In fact, they're an entire... you meet them, and I'm pretty sure you meet them...
When you get done with that, I'd like to take a look at it.
If that's okay with Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because, sadly, it's not his book, and... Yeah, that's
but yeah, the core rulebook covers pretty much everything. It covers the most... Actually, it covers about half the edges. Actually, less than half, because every Creed book gives you more edges. The only ones who don't get additional edges are the Hermits and the Waywards. And there are a few edges kind of dotted out throughout the Holy War source book. And those ones were developed in the Middle East. But, so, I'm going to go over each of these, well, not exactly in alphabetical order, but I am going to start alphabetically within each group. Except for Vision. That one's going to be a little harder. So, don't fall over.
I don't know what she's talking about.
We're used to her falling over.
Now, first I'm going to go over There are three virtues in Hunter. Now, they're not the same virtues like a vampire. It's not conscience, self-control, and courage. The three virtues are zeal, mercy, and vision. And each one of those has a grouping of three creeds of Hunter. And I actually figured out a sort of chart to where each virtue has a Hunter who questions, a Hunter who supports, and a Hunter who fights. We're going to start with the Hunter who fights for zeal. And I have shit handwriting. But hopefully that says Avenger.
It does.
The Avenger is the fighting creed for zeal. Now, Avengers, who that?
It's Isaac. He's letting us know he's not going to be able to make it tonight.
All right, well, he'll have to get the rundown. Yeah. Avengers, well, as the name implies, they go out, they fight, they kill. Your typical Avenger believes that all monsters have to die, and that they're the ones who have to make it happen. They're the ones who kick in the door, wielding a shotgun, blasting everything in sight. But that's the stereotype. As I said, they are the fighting creed of zeal. And early game, their two first level edges are some of the most overpowered fucking edges at early level. Cleave and Impact. Long story short, you just take any weapon and deal aggravated damage. There isn't one that applies to ranged weapons right now. Cleave is for melee, Impact is for thrown. Next is the supporter, the support hunter for zeal, the defender. The defender, well, similar to Avengers, they believe they have to go out and fight monsters, but they don't do it because they feel that they don't feel this overpowering urge to murder. They do it because they feel like they have to go out and protect the people they love and care about. They consider themselves the bastion of humanity against the monsters, and their first level edge ward perfectly represents that. They literally, like, hold out their hand and or say a word or something and prevent monstrous creatures from getting close to them.
What decades is this going to be taking place?
This will be in the year 1898.
Okay.
Then the questioner for zeal, we have the judge. The judge, well, as the name implies, judges the monster, weighs their actions, and determines what needs to be done to them. Now, because they represent zeal, the stereotypical judge usually gives a verdict of guilty. But there are exceptions. Especially when you look at the different, when you look at the three main types of judge. There's one that believes there's only black and white. There's one that believes there is no black and white, there is only gray. And there's one that believes something in between. Those are the types of judges you usually find. And their first level, well, their normal first level ability is discern. They can enhance the second sight ability, which I'll get into a little bit later, and be able to specifically tell what type of monster they're dealing with. Whether it be a blood-sucking vampire, some heinous warlock, or a damn fairy. Now, we move into the mercy virtue. These hunters aren't as hardcore, but they still have a place. First, we have the questioner for mercy, the innocent. the innocent, they feel it is their duty not only to figure out who actually is the monstrous among the other supernaturals, but also who was the monstrous among their own. They have no qualms about stopping hunters they feel are going too far, but they also believe in standing up to those who are only out to hurt.
So the innocent would have actually liked Troy Ovid's the way he operated.
Yes. Next, we have the Warrior of Mercy, the Martyr. Now, the Martyr. The Martyr is an unusual case. Similar to the Avenger, they believe they have to go out and fight monsters, but unlike the Avenger, who does it to kill all that is unnatural, the Martyr does it because they feel that they have to throw themselves against it to redeem themselves of some horrible thing they've done. Or in the case of one of the pre-written characters in that, literally, they think that because their family is rich, that they need to prove themselves worthy of helping others by going out and throwing themselves against the monster. They have a very interesting level one edge in the form of demand, where they hurt themselves and add their mercy rating to their next strength roll. Can be very useful in a tight pinch. Granted, not all martyrs gain the most benefit out of it, but it's still very useful. And then, the support character for Mercy, the Redeemer. They believe that there are those among the monsters who can be saved, who aren't doing it out of some heinous form of, well, whatever it is that fuels them. They believe that some monsters are doing this purely out of survival, and that they need simply to be helped. And obviously this leads to clashes with some other types of hunters. Then we get into Vision. Hunters of the Vision virtue tend to take a step back, look at what's going on, examine it, and then make a decision. Starting with the questioner for Vision, the Visionary. The Visionary is always asking the hard questions. They're always the one that's questioning whether what they're doing is the right path, whether what they're fighting truly is what they should be fighting. The Visionary is the one that plans for the long term, helps people see the bigger picture. In fact, their first ability is to literally predict possible futures and, well, use that information to their advantage. In fact, one of the pre-writtens for Visionary is a politician who, when he was about to be, he literally foresaw that he was about to be dead on the floor by some protesters. And using this knowledge, he shouted, "Gone!" Bodyguards stopped the people before he could be killed. And turned out the guy actually had a weapon and was reaching into his pocket for it. That is a Visionary. Now it gets into the unusual ones, the outcasts, the lost, as they're called. Now, what separates hermits and waywards from all other seven? Normally, the other seven are chosen thanks to a combination of their personality and how they react to the imbuing. Hermits and waywards are chosen to be them. So they can literally come from anything, from anywhere, but there are ups and downs to being them. First, the hermit. the support character for Vision. What makes the Hermit interesting is that they get three automatic dots in a background unique to hunters called Patron. Essentially, they get signals from above as to what they should do, how they should react. Hermits always have these signals. Another problem hermits have is that when they are around other hunters, they get what they call static. Literally, their head just fills with all this white noise, and it gets hard to concentrate. So they tend to isolate themselves. But they get some pretty useful abilities, including being able to astral project.
I'm going to find it.
All right. And of course, as I probably implied, playing a hermit means you're pretty much off by yourself, waiting for a vision, and sending off letters to the other characters, telling them what they should do. Not the most fun way to play, I'll admit, but when it gets played well, you can actually change the course of a game. And now we get to what I consider to be everyone's favorite and least favorite creed. The fighter for Vision. The Wayward. The Wayward. Well, as I said, they are chosen to be Waywards. Now, if you look at Wayward edges, along with some of the stuff they have, it's heavily implied, it's almost canonized, that Waywards were meant to be leaders among hunters, especially since their first their first edge, literally all hunters around you automatically get their second sight activated without having to spend conviction. You force everyone else to see what you see. In fact, Waywards have their second sight on permanently. They always see that there are monsters among them, which, as you might imagine, can drive them insane. Now, Waywards are, as I said, they are warriors of Vision, which means unlike Avengers who kick in the door and gun down everything, or martyrs who throw themselves at the enemy with reckless abandon, Wayward's plan. They find the best possible course of action. Most of the time, that means collateral damage be damned, even if it means your fellow hunters. Waywards are, ironically, the best leaders and planners for hunters, but nobody wants to fucking work with them.
Oh, look, there's a vampire in that 20-story building. Guess what he's gonna do?
Take down the whole building?
More than likely.
In fact, I'm surprised I haven't seen some edgy humor about a Wayward being responsible for 9/11 because there was a single vampire in one of the towers.
I wouldn't doubt a single bit of that. That being said, I'm still trying to figure out a way to convince you to let me try it.
Well, as I've explained Waywards, and they do have benefits. Like, playing a Wayward means you get access to some great abilities, but you have to be careful about how you play it. Granted, there are other ways to play Waywards, but that can be rather difficult. In fact, one of the ways in the Wayward Creed book says that there are those who choose to try to forget that they are Waywards, try to ignore their duty. They still hunt, but they try to ignore all the shit that's, you know, makes them Waywards. Which, granted, I think about a lot of the community from the late 90s, early 2000s, and my only thought is, crawling! Okay.
I was going to say, one of the examples of a Wayward getting himself into trouble is Terror Train Y2K.
From my original Hunter game, yeah. He was the perfect... Actually, he was supposed to be someone else's antagonist.
He really was, and that would have been so hilarious to see him go through that whole spiel.
Because he was basically he was an assassin for hire, an international assassin, except he was a wayward. So mostly he took hits out on the supernatural and those who got in his way. Because waywards do not care who gets in their way as long as their mission is accomplished. That's part of it. In fact, actually, they specifically have a archetype called Engine. I can't remember how you regain willpower with that one, but as it implies, they try to be unstoppable. They overcome adversity, and no matter, they overcome all adversity just to achieve their objective. That is what most waywards are like. But, as I said, every single one of these nine creeds has their unique style. Now, I've gone over the stereotypes for each one. The sort of the bubble that a lot of them exist in. But now we get to why all this happens. The imbuing.
Are you going to go over the original canon? That way they understand
The creation of? I'm actually going to explain all three possibilities, and then I'm going to tell them what happens in this canon to create hunters. So, the imbuing. Now, hunters go through an imbuing. That's why they're called the imbued. Now, during the imbuing, something happens. The radio in their car is turned off, but they hear a message from the radio saying, "The dead walk among you." Or a grocery store sign says, "The dead prey on the living."
Sort of like how your Mokavian occasionally got messages directed at her. Sort of a similar idea, but slightly different.
Yeah,
a little more subtle.
Yeah, and it's not madness. It's literally something from above guiding you. Now, it's a combination of two things that leads to what creed you become. Your personality and how you react. I'm going to go over a few examples. At least I'm going to try to go over a few examples from different creeds. I've explained a few already, but here's a few more. An NPC I used, Zechariah Savage. He came home from work one day, and he saw his house was on fire, and his 12-year-old daughter was inside. He kicks down the door, and he sees this cultist standing over the dead body of his daughter as the building's on fire. He grabs a gun nearby, blasts as many cultists as he can, and grabs his daughter and runs out of the building, but she's already dead. What creed do you think he is? Or don't say anything, Derek.
I'm the Avenger. Possibly Defender.
Avenger. In that moment, yes, he could have actually become a Defender or even a Martyr from that, but he became an Avenger because of his personality. He let his anger boil over, and all he could think was he wanted to kill these bastards as much as he could. And he lived a fairly long hunt.
Up until he met Morgan's character.
Well, I was going to say up until he met Marco.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Poor Morgan's character that day.
But I still use that session as a message. Don't fuck with mages unless you're prepared.
And sadly, Zechariah Savage was not fully prepared.
Okay, no. So, Wayward's not actually in this book, nor is Hermit.
Hermit and Wayward are in the player's guide, though that's where they're introduced. And they each do have their own creed book, which goes over their specific edges. Mm-hmm.
Now, sadly, you're not going to find them in the...
I
kind of
figured that out.
However, I have the PDFs, and looks like he does as well.
I'm still going to find a way to explain it. The sad thing is, I don't think I'll succeed, but I'm going to give him a best shot.
That's what counts. Understand, that hunters, despite all the insane bullshit they can do, at their core, they are humans who have been given these powers to hunt.
On top of that, because you're fucking human, you may be OP by human standards,
But you weak as fuck.
Yay!
On the supernatural totem pole, you're just above wraiths.
Yeah, that's really not saying a lot.
Like I said, you weak as fuck.
You're basically baby mage, and even a baby mage will still kick your ass from here to Kingdom Come if they do it right.
The sacrifice initiative for security. With the exception of that guy on TV, Mr. Hi, America, I'm a convention hunter, and you're all endangered cow potatoes.
Oh, the martyr's view on the...
Defenders?
On the defender. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they reference events in the core book. Basically, because this game normally takes place during the... around... basically like 2000-2001 Shep, because Hunter started appearing normally in canon around 1998, and of course there were people who went on TV saying, hey, monsters exist, we are here to kill them, and
nothing happened.
No, something did happen. The fucking Camarilla came and shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and the technocracy as well.
Oh yeah, well, the technocracy gets involved in anything, the technocracy fucking gets involved.
Yeah, the technocracy and the Camarilla were both like, no, nobody believes you.
But that message did not happen. This person was clearly insane, public. They were on some form of opiate.
Oh yeah. Now,
I mean, it was the 60s, wasn't it?
No, 1998 is when they first...
You know, crystal.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
So yeah, crystals.
Crystal.
In fact, actually, they reference meth in a few of the books.
To be honest, Josh, I'd probably play a visionary, or if you would allow it, a unique hermit who actually goes out and interacts with people.
Oh, so you basically right now.
Except, here's the thing. Being around other people doesn't give him a permanent headache.
Nope.
Like a supernatural headache, because that's what hermits suffer from.
Well, give him a few more months at his job and he can have one.
No, I'm literally...
A few months after he ended up married to me. He ended up living with me permanently.
But,
no.
Oh, you just wait. I could make your life hell.
I'm going to say right now, and I will just acknowledge it, you pregnant might give everyone a headache.
Yeah.
You'll give yourself a headache.
You get used to it after a set.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
You got a headache.
Yeah.
That was a very long pour.
For a semi-full cup of coffee.
Well, because I don't open it all the way.
Yeah.
To prevent spill.
Now, so, yeah, the imbuing is a combination of your, except for waywards and hermits, it's a combination of your personality and how you react that determines it. A character someone played. He played a judge. He saw a situation where werewolves and vampires were fighting each other.
Oh, you're talking about his character?
Yeah. He saw werewolves and vampires fighting each other. And he thought, and in that split second, he decided the vampires were the monsters, were the worst monsters. So he grabbed a gun and started shooting the vampires. Mm-hmm. And he became a judge because of that.
That was Tom's character, wasn't it?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, stuff like that.
And then there was my character, Troy Owens. The reason he became a martyr has to do with the fact that, first off, his family was upper class. Not, like, rich as fuck, but rich-ish. And he decided to basically throw himself into a fray between supernatural and someone else trying to defend themselves from the supernatural. He... obviously won, but that's how he became a martyr.
Let's see. Here's a redeemer. This is actually one of the ones from the books. This lady who's very spiritual, very religious, walking down the street. This homeless guy asks for money, and she'll see. So basically, she asks him, "What are you gonna use the money on?" And eventually, the homeless guy kind of gives up, and she says, "If you are not willing to help yourself, me giving you money will not actually help you." So she continues down the street. She hears a noise, turns around, sees this monstrous-looking guy pick up that homeless guy by the neck and start, like, beating him to death. And so she, in, like, a panic, just immediately calls out, "In the name of God, I command you to stop!" And the monster fled in a panic.
Defender.
Actually, that was a redeemer because of her personality.
Innocent?
Actually, yeah, here's another one from the Innocent Creed book. Woman who has grown up in this community. It was a small, tight-knit community, corner shops, you know, that kind of stuff. Then the gangs moved in, but started bringing drugs and guns. And she decided that she had to help these people. At one point, she hears this little girl crying inside this abandoned building, so she runs in there to help her, and she sees this dead guy talking to her, and pleading that he didn't mean to hurt her. This woman stands in between them and says, "I understand, but you have to leave." That's an example of an innocent. Now all of these, I could spout out all these potential combinations to create all these interesting types of hunters, but in the end, you have to think about what sort of event. I can help you come up with an imbuing event to help you shape your character's personality, mm-hmm. but in the end, it is your character. And as I said, these are Old West characters. It's 1898 in Denver, Colorado.
I have a question for you. Would you allow me to play a hermit, first off? We're still going to go with the old Irish coal miner thing, but he was always one of those people that sort of mined a little off by himself because he was, you know, a little off in the head. And then on top of that, instead of staying in his home all the time, he actually has quite a bit of wealth saved up at this point. He tends to go out and drink frequently to forget that he's kind of a hermit because he hates being by himself.
That's a possibility. I'll have to think about that one. That's pretty good. Now, Chrissy, you said you had come up with a concept.
Yeah. My character is a defender. She was actually a horse rancher to Irish immigrants in the 1800s. She was actually the first of her clan born on the
remember,
US soil.
1898, though.
Just
remind
her
you.
Parents,
descended from
okay.
Yeah, her parents were the first of her clan that moved in the 1800s. Let's see.
Now, so an Irish coal miner, a horse rancher, like, these are types of, like, because I also want you to think about an Old West character concept, as this is an Old West game.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a former Irish coal miner. He doesn't do coal mining anymore. He got lucky and struck it rich.
Ah, so basically you're Juan from Tremors 4.
Yeah, basically. Damn it. I kind of forgot about that until you brought that up.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions first. I do have a backup plan, but I'm going to try and convince you of this.
Okay.
So, first off, how well are waywards able to, like, how do hunters determine what other hunters are? Is that just automatically known, or can that be hidden?
Oh, that, actually, that's usually, it's usually done by judging how other people act. How they act, how they respond to the supernatural. That's how they figure out each other's creeds.
So you can convince somebody that you're an Avenger, but you're actually a wayward.
Well, most waywards don't kick in the door screaming bloody murder, but
yeah.
You could potentially. Now, when you don't start using Avenger powers and instead start randomly activating people's second sight, they might start questioning.
Yeah, but it's a good in the door kind of action. Okay. My character definitely would have a few selective impulsive actions due to just character buildup. That makes up for that wayward action. And I notice that waywards are generally known to just have a mold over hate and discontent over everything. They just don't like everything.
Yeah, I mean, they've been driven insane, basically.
The way to enact that would be a dislike of both humanity and monsters itself, but monsters are the target of the hate. Humans can just stand in the side, and whatever happens to them, I don't really care.
A very wayward attitude.
However, the way I treat this action is by taking most of my hate and discontent on people who what humanity believes deserves it by being a deputy.
All right.
But I'm a deputy that literally clawed my way because I was told no.
And I'm over here just the rich hermit who is trying to party it up a bit because fucking I'm a hermit.
Visionary sheriff.
A visionary sheriff, that could be awesome.
Oh my goodness.
Oh god, if we have all three of the vision creeds.
Come on! That I'm sure I'm a best here!
Okay.
The wayward is my personality and it's sad.
You know what? You know, I will allow that to be your character.
Yes! I'm good.
So we're gonna have a visionary sheriff, a wayward deputy, and the party guy who's a hermit who really just wants to forget he's a hermit.
And we have a defender horse rancher. Mm-hmm.
I feel successful.
Yeah, I'll work with you a little bit more on flushing her out.
By the way,
yeah.
I am going to be taking resources 5.
Makes sense.
I might bump it up further if I have the capability to do so. When I say he struck it rich, I mean he fucking struck it rich.
Let me guess, found a bunch of gold and decided to haul all of it out by himself.
He found one of the world's largest gold nuggets, and he found a pocket of oil.
Over here, bud.
You can tell him to move his ass.
Did you hear me, Josh?
Yes.
And yeah. Found a pocket of oil that he decided to collect all the oil.
Yeah, that would explain why you're basically a baron.
Yeah. And of course, because of that, I probably should take a little bit of status because everyone would probably know who the fuck I am at this point.
Maybe. Unless you kept quiet about it.
Again, he's a hermit trying to forget he's a hermit.
So would we be in the same city?
Most likely. All
right. It's Denver.
Denver, Colorado.
Well, I wasn't sure if he was starting in Denver. You don't always start in the same city.
Well, it's up to you guys whether you're going to Denver or staying there. Obviously, you two are staying there.
Yeah, my family lives there.
I like it.
I live in, like, the northern, nicer district of Denver. At the
same time, visionary most
likely. I probably have a house by myself, and when I'm not partying, I'm probably receiving messages, and I'm just going...
Alright, so... That definitely works.
Plus... It'll give me time, give my character time away from other people so he could be like, oh, this is about to happen. Well, fuck. Send out message.
Message?
Yep, all the messages.
All the messages.
I probably have a telegram connected to my house, by the way.
Whew. I mean, yeah, you would need resources 5 for that, but damn.
Yeah.
Go ahead and
refill your cup.
Oh, thank you.
Huh? Go ahead and what?
Learn Morse code for us, then.
I might.
Oh, that one doesn't have this.
Not that hard to learn.
Luckily, you can just take a dot in linguistics and have Morse be a language.
That's true. Of course, I would have it connected to the sheriff's department, the...
Probably the hospital.
The hospital, the post office.
Character concept with your...
And the library.
Mad yes. Kitty.
I'm waiting for you to talk. But what is the age cap?
None.
I'm gonna be like 30 years old.
Well, yeah, I get that I'm human. I'm not gonna be like 600 years old.
And you're not even hitting that 1900. The average age around then for dying was like mid 50s. And
I just wanted to be 16 to just fucking fuck with my brain.
Are you playing a male character or a female? Because that will.
Female, that's why it's so distorted.
You're gonna have to raise that age, sweetie.
Especially if you're gonna be a law enforcer.
Yes,
you're gonna have to, just given the times, historically.
By 16, people were having children.
Yeah.
And creating their own families.
Yeah. This is law enforcement.
Most women in that age didn't even become anything more than a teacher. It's not so much that the fact that it would be age restricted, it's the fact that the backstory behind the character is she was sold and resold as an orphan laborer to become a reconnaissance housewife to pick up the daily chores that the wife wouldn't be able to do. I basically became a housemaid as a young child and refused to do it. Would pick up firearms and anything like that. Got really good at that stuff, really good at riding, and then found him. And we ended up allying and working something out. And when you're sheriff, nobody counters that.
Well, the only person that could counter it is the mayor, but it, 9 times out of 10, if the sheriff...
I'm sure the mayor's probably a coward, as most of them were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, considering some of the stuff going on in the background of the game, the mayor is actually a puppet.
So...
So it wouldn't even matter what the mayor really said.
It doesn't matter what the mayor says. What matters what his master says.
So, but that's kind of where that's coming from. And in all reality, age didn't really matter all that much, just how good you were at what you did and what you were supposed to do.
Yes and no. The thing that I will say, expect a lot of the men in that time period to treat you kind of poorly because...
Oh yeah, oh, that's yeah. What makes it so much more wayward-like, because when I'm challenged, it gives me full permission to basically deal with them as I would need to. And since a good chunk of them are going to be monsters, it's just not going to take much more effort than just a willy-nilly. It all depends on how to play the cards. And that is how I keep my waywardness in check, is by taking out things that everybody expects to go away.
Well, that could work.
I can't even tell if he's listening at this point.
Oh, he's... The only thing that I'm going to say is, I'm a drunk hermit.
Well, you all seem to have a, now, I will say...
And I wear nice suits. Don't spill the alcohol on my suit, because my hermit will get upset about
that. I can tell
you
the exact inciting event for the three of us to meet. A drunken brawl started by him.
Yep.
That would be the cue.
Someone spilled alcohol on my suit. Damn it! Do you know how much money this suit is? Fuck you.
Yep.
Drunken boxing activated.
And then her character is calling us over.
Depending on what she decides to play.
I have a few different ideas.
I know you do.
Because I'm the, you know.
I know you do.
I'm the character creative one, okay? It's hard to choose.
Sure that I was creative.
I have 4 different character types going through my brain.
I don't have a backup plan for my backup plan if I didn't succeed.
Hey,
just figuring out where they fit.
What fits your personality the best?
My backup was to go Avenger.
Well, you got slut.
We all thought that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you were in a local brothel, then that would make sense.
Well, I'm seriously considering playing basically Inara's friend from episode 10. No, 11. Where they have to go and save them. And
it's been a while since I've seen.
If I were not wed, I would take you in manly fashion.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty, because you're pretty. That episode.
So be an innocent. An innocent could get away with a lot of things. Your judgment is literally corrupt from both sides.
You could also go...
You could see the good of the men and the bad of the men all at the same time.
I could also go with a redeemer.
That's what I was about to say, is you could also go redeemer.
Yeah.
Either or could work for that.
Or if you really want to get funny with it, play a judge.
You know what? That'd be funny.
No. If you really want to get janky with it, go Avenger.
Avenger prostitute doesn't really seem to fit.
You didn't pay me right!
That's how you end up in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a calling card for our characters here.
Of course, I'm just wondering how the sheriff department would feel about the random messages I send to them. Oh, he's telling us about this. The last 3 times he's told us about things, it's been accurate, so we may as well go check it out. Oh, look, it's happening again. What is this guy? Some sort of freaking seer?
Well, now that you mention it.
Oh, and I'm also going to bump up patron from 3 to 5.
Makes sense.
Of course, I can just imagine him drunk at the bar,
all of a sudden he gets the message to do something. And he's just like, God damn it. I'm too drunk for this. I can't move. Hey, barkeep. You got a piece of paper.
That's at least the start of her backstory.
You need to deliver this to such and such
and
individual.
If you want
to
know where I got, you know, the translation of husband's name.
I'm also going to make him at least semi-decent with firearms because I'm not going to leave him defenseless.
Oh, that'd be fun to watch.
I'm going with a lot of the old Gaelic spellings.
He'd have a Colt revolver.
And you can probably figure out that...
That depends on your arsenal reading, because as Tom and I actually created a modified arsenal, like a modified arsenal for the Old West.
I think I'm going to go with a Redeemer Slut.
Yeah. Ranch Hand, Defender, Redeemer Slut. We got ourselves a sheriff visionary, we got ourselves a deputy wayward, and we got ourselves a drunken hermit. Woohoo!
And a defender horse rancher.
Oh my god, Derek!
You're right next to the mic, so you make it spike easy.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
Why Josh is over there.
Sorry.
Do we need to separate you from the mic?
I think we need to separate him just solely.
Josh, you're going to have a very interesting bunch on your hands.
Yeah.
It's fun to have a bunch like this.
I mean, come on. It wouldn't be any fun if we had a typical Saturday Night Live kind of situation here where we got a few laughs out of it, but it's really kind of the same thing over and over again. We gotta have something different.
Yeah, in the typing where the apostrophe is, it's supposed to be over the letter before it.
Ah.
It's just...
To figure it out.
Well,
yeah.
on my tablet, don't have that option.
Yeah, I understand that.
So.
But now that we all have... our character concepts sort of hashed out, Josh should go over the canon stuff real quick.
Oh, yeah. So, allow me to tell you some interesting shit about World of Darkness. In World of Darkness, there are two canon explanations for the for hunters. And then my friends and I created a third one, which I'm applying to this one. So, let me tell you about these other two. The less canon explanation comes from the end time scenario for Demon the Fallen. Lucifer Morningstar reappears on Earth, calls all the imbued to his side, and proclaims that he is their creator. Basically, in that scenario, Lucifer is responsible for the creation of hunters, and it turns into a shit show because he keeps pumping freebie points into them every day, and...
He pumps in, let's say, 100 freebie points out across all of them. Let's say they're 1,000. In turn, he gets a bunch of stuff in return for that that
faith.
He then
yeah.
puts back into them back and forth. Basically pumping himself up, pumping them up, and yeah, it becomes a nightmare.
Help me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and the longer the game goes on, the more terrifying the hunters become because they can max out their stats in, like, a month. Now... that is the less canon explanation of World of Darkness. The more canon explanation comes from Kindred of the East. There are two powerful spirits, the Ebon Dragon and the Scarlet Queen. They're quote-unquote angels who are actually responsible for the creation. Now, there are other sources that claim that the Scarlet Queen is Gaia, but that's a whole other mess.
That we don't want to get into.
World of Darkness is complicated once you start getting into...
I thought we already discussed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you stick to one game and one game only, it gets complicated, but it's manageable. When you start adding in more and more, it becomes a jumbled mess where it's basically like trying to untangle the Christmas lights.
People do that?
Most people do.
Who said we're most people?
True.
We look like a normal herd to you.
Alright.
I figured it'd be an adequate comparison. Now, here's the explanation my friends and I have come up with. Hunters are in fact an attempt by Gaia to create her own version of mages, because Gaia's response for everything is create an entire new race. And then that race usually fucks everything up.
I mean...
Look at the, what happened with the werewolves.
Yeah.
That...
World of Rage.
And look at what happened with the Titans.
Mm-hmm. So, now, mind you, the event that hunters were created in conjunction with that happened at the same time was that little fight, the Week of Nightmares.
Yeah, the Week of Nightmares. Basically, the Ravnos Antediluvian wakes up, causes a bunch of havoc. Long story short, Technocracy drops a quantum nuke to basically break up the fight and then uses, literally bounces the sun off of like four satellite mirrors and basically sun lasers the bastard. Boom, Week of Nightmares. However, that event caused shockwaves in the spirit world, because massive events like that tend to. The entirety of Wraithy Oblivion ended. The underworld collapsed. It was basically the apocalypse for them. Like, their entire society crumbled.
Isn't the underworld the embodiment of apocalypse anyway?
Not in the World of Darkness. The underworld is actually where wraiths reside. They have built up a city entirely out of other wraiths, but that's getting into wraith logic. But yeah, literally, their society, everything they built up, gone thanks to the shockwave. A lot of them got sent straight to Oblivion. Now...
Now, Oblivion's a place?
Oblivion is the nothing, the void.
So limbo.
Yeah, and going there is literally, like, the worst possible thing that can happen to a wraith. In fact, it's called Wraith of Oblivion because that's what they're trying to avoid. So... Now, during that, the shockwave, also known as the sixth maelstrom, also the sixth ray maelstrom, I think the Avatar Storm is something else, but the sixth ray maelstrom, that's what that is.
The Avatar Storm is something separate from the maelstrom.
Now during this shockwave also cracked a seal on another place in the Umbra. And that place was holding all of the demons. And because of that crack, some of them started slipping through and going to Earth. That's how Demon the Fallen starts. You're recently released from your prison, and you start inhabiting dead bodies. Now, hunters just started appearing after the Week of Nightmares. Nobody knows why. The Ebon Dragon and the Scarlet Queen were like, hey, let's create this. But... as I said, my friends and I believe that after the Week of Nightmares, Gaia basically panicked and said, mages!
Except they're her own version of mages, which means they're...
hunters!
Yeah. And sadly, they're not nearly as powerful.
Yet. That's because they just awakened.
That's true.
And as everybody goes on, they're going to get more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and here's the thing about hunters that just makes them so much fun. They throw everyone else in the supernatural off their game. Literally, every single one of the supernatural is thrown off their kilter when they encounter a hunter. Mostly because hunters just register as human.
Until they start using their powers.
Until they start using their powers. And as a elder vampire will tell you, you know, it's all fun and games, and you can kill humans. But... a lot of vampires get thrown off when that human turns around, instead of fleeing, decides to hack at them with an axe.
And that axe all of a sudden does a lot more damage than it
should.
Should,
yeah.
AKA, when my character experienced, what did you call it, a wayward? Would it have been a wayward? No, that was an Avenger. It was much more reckless.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude with the shotgun, yeah, he was an Avenger.
Just like the dude that...
He was a defender. The Avenger was the skinny guy who didn't say anything, who, in a fit of rage, cut off the GameStop employee's head.
That sounds more like a wayward thing than a...
You'd be surprised how often people mistake them for each other.
Because...
up until they use their powers, because their powers are completely different.
Mm-hmm. Avengers, take Zechariah, for instance. Zechariah hates, with a passion, burning passion, mages. Specifically. But he was okay with werewolves, sort of. Especially the group of werewolves that my character hung around with. But vampires and mages, he didn't trust them as far as he could throw them. So he usually stayed way the fuck away and shot at them with dragon breath rounds. Now,
I'm sorry, but I think that phrase is a little irrelevant in this entire storyline.
What?
How far you can throw something just depends on what you are.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, just wait until we get into werewolf, then you can throw everything.
Oh, you mean like the time the werebear and the werewolf pushed over a freaking wind turbine?
Or how about another story I heard about a werebear who basically trying to basically after getting shot up, grabbed a motorcycle and flung it and killed like a dozen people.
Yeet.
Yeah.
That was because the other person detonated, what was it?
Detonated an entire hospital while he was still in it.
Yep.
Werebears. So.
Some of the most survivable bastards there are. And when they get pissed, leave.
Didn't you get yours killed, like, within the first 5 minutes of the game?
Yeah.
Werebear? No.
No. Horrible.
No.
No. That was at the start of the third act.
Yep.
Okay, you made it sound like it was the beginning of the game.
No, start of the third act.
Beginning of the game, my character was like the star.
Yeah, actually, you and Marco were the ones basically ruling.
Oh, what do you want?
Okay. So. Now, here is what happens to create because obviously this is a different timeline, a different universe, and this is in the past, I came up with an explanation as to why hunters are appearing in this time period. It all comes... Now, this actually technically involves a little bit of mage lore. Now, in mage, there are groups called traditions. Basically, groups of mages who hold similar beliefs and paradigms. Now, there was one called the Order of Hermes. They were kind of like your typical wizards. Now, back in the day, they were the ones ruling humanity because people believed in magic. They could throw fireballs and call down lightning. That was what people believed. Until a group called the Order of Reason started coming in. And they were literally, like, these people were going completely against the consensus by creating science. So, yeah, the Order of Reason was actually doing good by trying to create science, well, techno-magic, scientific stuff, basically magic that people could use, trying to give people an edge over their tyrannical, magical overlords.
Magical abilities of deities.
Yes. Now, basically, and so over time, the consensus started shifting because of their efforts. People started believing more in science and less in magic. The Order of Hermes obviously suffered the most from it. Now, this comes into play because in the 18th century, in this timeline, a woman from the Order of Hermes decided she hated where the consensus was going. The Order of Reason is ruining everything. She wanted to be able to throw fire from her hands again. So she goes into the Umbra to start a ritual to rewrite the consensus to her will. And she botches.
Oh God.
The resulting catastrophe literally warped everything, warped the Umbra. It cracked open the seal on the void. And, because everything was going to shit, Guy was like, hunters! And that's how they came about. Everything has calmed down since then, but basically from the original canon, let's just say people don't have the best view of mages, specifically hermetics. In fact, the Order of Hermes was disbanded.
So there's no more Order of Hermes?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, actually, a whole new tradition, well, the council tradition shattered. They're basically all disparates. But a new group stepped up called the Order of Dawn. Basically old school. They are the Sons of Aether before the Sons of Aether happened. So they go around with guns and all sorts of techno magic stuff.
But they're not the technocracy.
No, because this is when the Sons of Aether are the Electrodyne engineers in the... The Order of Reason turned into the technocracy in 1851. After a very, very long meeting. Yeah, they reformed into the technocracy, and they were still kind of the good guys back then. It's just when they get into the modern age that they really seem like the villains. It's all about context. But that is where you guys are sitting. Hunters have been around since the 18th century. In fact, there have been supernaturals in the background of every major event in human history, obviously, including American independence. The vampires were the ones mostly wanting for it to stay part of England, because England was the capital of the Camarilla. There were werewolves among the natives who... But...
She pressed the no button.
No.
But werewolves were mostly in it because they like fighting. Werewolves have been in every battle because they like fighting. It doesn't matter what side they're on, they just like fighting.
Hulk smash.
Especially when you get an Arun, you have no idea how true that statement is.
I wanted to do a Hulk werewolf with a Loki.
Yes!
A what?
Actually, I know exactly how to make a Hulk-type werewolf and a Loki-type werewolf. It's surprisingly easy.
Get a Fenris, Shadow
get
Lord.
Get a Fenris Arun and a Shadow Lord Ragabash.
Yep.
I just want to do the thing that Hulk does in First Avengers.
Just grab him and just...
Beauty God.
Actually, yeah, get a Fenris Arun. So, but that is the... Yeah, that's pretty much the... That's pretty much the long and short of how this has happened. Hunters obviously were fighting... Well, a lot of hunters mostly appeared in the United States, but... A lot of them have appeared all over the world. It's just because communication isn't as strong, it's hard to tell who is where.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, for the, you've all definitely chosen some interesting creeds, but, I could definitely see this working.
Well, that's a good thing. Means none of us have to throw away any ideas.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, obviously, everyone's going to have very different goals, but set, and I will leave it up to you guys whether this is a game where you try to work with each other, try to work against each other, or maybe somewhere in between, but...
Kind of like we did for Vampire, a little bit with and a little bit against.
And again, somehow yours and my characters are out of the game.
That's because we fucking planned it this time. Last time it wasn't supposed to fucking happen.
And it's still good.
But again, this time I'm the weirdo that stands on the side helping the weirdos.
You were on that way to begin with.
Yeah.
Hey, so is my character.
He's... I don't know. Your character might end up the theme of this fucking thing. Drunken brawls because someone put a drop on your fucking suit. Yeah, you're gonna end up being a theme.
Yeah.
And something to note, I actually did create 8 Hunter NPCs to sort basically to help out and to kind of showcase what hunters can be in the background. The only NPC I didn't create was a hermit.
Yes.
Mostly because hermits would be hermit NPCs would be really weird
and pointless.
Yeah, granted, every other one has basically you can work with them, work against them. They all have their own goals, and. In the end, it's all, and this is still World of Darkness, how you interact with others is a huge part of this game.
What's going to be interesting is the marshals.
Oh yeah, since you're both law enforcement.
Yep.
Now luckily, being law enforcement means you can get away with a little bit more hiding the supernatural, because, you know, most people don't fucking believe it. Thanks, technocracy. But... Now, obviously, if you go out into the streets, well, like, waving your hands and doing all sorts of weird
if
shit.
If you venture shit, they're gonna notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if you go out and act, if you go out and fucking activate cleave and make your fucking sword glow as you run and chop a werewolf in half, then, yeah, people are gonna freak out and think that you're also against them. People,
I have a cover-up for my impulsiveness. I'm a pyromaniac.
Oh God. Oh God, there's gonna be fire everywhere. There's gonna be fire everywhere in that damn city.
We're in the middle of Denver. Everything catches on fire.
Oh, fuck.
If you burn Denver to the ground, like, your character might actually die.
You never know. It all depends.
If he's just trying.
If I have to balance out a very carefully thought out plan, and I have to kickstart it with my own stupid impulsive pyromaniac-ness, I'm gonna do so. Favorite at its best.
Right. Or and my character are just going to look at each other.
We're going to butt heads a little bit.
I can just see imagining.
Yes.
Go.
Now, merits and flaws for Hunter was kind of weird to where the merits and flaws were in the player's guide. Obviously, we're going to go more deeply into that, but there, I will allow a lot of flaws from other books because a lot of them are pretty general. Like one eye, blind, deaf. By the way, playing a blind hunter is maybe not the best idea.
I wasn't going to attempt it.
Especially a blind wayward. I can see nothing, but I will still shoot.
Oh, yeah.
That's when
yeah,
you just say, ow.
But so it's like, yeah, when we get home, we'll download the books onto my tablet.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to share my...
No, I wasn't going to do that. But literally, the character was a throwaway. I was just throwing it out there to say, fuck it. And since fucking the system seems to be working for me, I want to do it again.
Yep. Now.
You are going to have early adopter.
What?
You are going to have early adopter.
Huh?
It's a merit.
Yeah, it's like a 1 or 2 point merit.
1 point. You want to have the latest technology and gadgets. It's a drain on your cash, but in your apartment's cluttered with some neat technology you never made, but you still have a solid sense of how to use the latest gadgets.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like you.
Yeah.
Of course, I could go slut all the way with a few medic skills.
Here, I'll kiss you, make you feel better. Everywhere but where it hurts.
Early adopter, smooth. Probably best friend.
Probably.
And now, there are... No. Obviously, the backgrounds change from vampire. There's a lot of the usual ones: allies, contacts, resources, all that. Now, in this game, I will allow mentor, but it does come with a bit of a twist because I already have a bunch of NPCs written up. Let's see. There are a few specifically unique to Hunter, but those would be Patron and Arsenal. Arsenal is, strangely enough, a general background that only appears in Hunter. Basically, it means how much shit do you got to fight with? What type of guns do you have? Do you have access to dynamite? What level of tech are you operating at? Are you running around with a fucking Henry Martini rifle, or do you have one of the Winchester line?
I'll probably have Arsenal Patron.
You and I are probably going to have a pretty good arsenal.
I know I will. That's literally the whole purpose of defying everything that I was being told what to do with, was I would go out back and start shooting instead.
Now, if you want like some of the high-end weapons, like the Winchesters and the Henrys and all that stuff,
there'd be no way for law enforcement in that time of age to get something like that quite yet.
Not issued, but you can still buy it with Arsenal 4.
Yeah. Well, I also have to make sure resources, because back then it was probably a resource 2 for mild military.
Law
enforcement.
Unless you've literally spent all of your money into your weapons, in which case you could purely go off of Arsenal.
Yeah, now Arsenal 5 is where you have cannons and Gatling guns and stuff like that.
You're ready for war when the engines attack.
Speaking of engines, werewolves are definitely going to be one of the villains in this game.
Great.
Well, because you guys are going to have encounters with vampires, werewolves, mages, and others.
I can tell that you were going to have encounters with vampires. I was helping somebody.
I was chosen.
Now, I will say, there are going to be reasons... For mages, mages are always acting in their own self-interest, so there's literally any reason for them to show up. Werewolves are interesting. There are going to be a few, and because of where they operate, you will fight them rarely, and they'll usually be at the lower end. Vampires, well, as you saw in the last game, they play the political game. That's going to be That's going to be where you're going to have to fight them. And obviously there will be some interest for them to be out here. This is a major populated area out on the frontier.
With a huge mine to begin with.
Yeah.
And easy access to railroads.
Exactly.
Oh, vampires are going to be crawling all over that city. Part of the reason why I'm having Derek write up so many is as a potential antagonist, along with a few I'm writing up myself, including the newly established Prince of Denver.
Oh.
That's going to be a fun one.
Denver and Cheyenne will probably be the most where they'd be crawling with vampires, with the fact of Cheyenne at that current moment in time was the capital of the railroad.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Cheyenne is going to be a frequent visit for several characters, especially since, considering how much, like, you could end up getting supplies from the railroad in Cheyenne.
I'll probably visit Cheyenne on a frequent basis.
And, like, for all of you, there will be visitors from Cheyenne.
That's business.
That's business. Potential business.
Potential criminals.
Now, the way I have sort of a base framework set up, the way I'm going to run this game, at its core, monster of the week, slow escalation of threat. You're going to start off fighting low-end stuff, humans, a few baseline vampires, maybe a mage or two. But as the game goes on, you're going to start seeing more and more threats.
And then the big picture threat eventually.
Oh, yes.
So we're playing Buffy.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Buffy the Old West.
That's hilarious.
Now, and I'm not going to spoil what the end game threat is, but it's definitely going to be testing all of you.
Oh, yay. Happy to oblige.
But mostly a lot of the story aspects of the game are going to come from your interactions. Because, well, that at their core, hunters are still humans.
Utterly, irrevocably human.
So, yeah. Now, since you all have concepts, I want you to really think about the way your character is going to, the way your characters are going to be, the stuff they're going to be doing. Obviously, I will have access. I'll make sure to bring character sheets next week, and we'll go over the PDFs and make sure everyone has a lot of access to different archetypes, merits, flaws. Let's see. There's a whole bunch of edges people can choose.
My character is going to be average height, but he is going to have one of the same merits I gave Troy, the one where he doesn't have to sleep as much.
Yeah, except I'm going to change that, because that's a ridiculous merit.
Catnap?
No, actually, there's one that he didn't even find it. He just found it in, like, an online forum, which is probably why it's so overpowered.
Yeah.
It was like a one-point merit where he only had to sleep, like, 2 hours a night.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, that's literally my entire life. 2 hours and I'm good for the next rest of the 8, 12, 14 hours later.
Yes, as a 1 point merit, no.
I can see that as like a 3 point.
I don't know, I do it naturally.
Yeah.
Because I jacked it up to like a 2 point merit and made it 4 hours.
Yep, still creeped the hell out of Oscar though.
Yeah.
I don't know, my dad and I are the only people I've ever met that can go off of 30 minutes of sleep for the next 12 hours. My dad does it a little better than I do. I get bitchy for the first 6 hours, and then I'm like wide awake for the last.
And then she gets hungry.
And then I crash for another 3 minutes, then I'm back up again.
No. It depends on what food we give her.
Now, but I want to make sure you all kind of had an understanding of hunters, to get a grasp of a lot of what goes on with them. And I will say, hunters, between all, the only group of supernatural I think in fight more than hunters is werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of tribal politics. Yeah, hunters will kill each other over the most insane shit because, well...
Your shoes untied. Boom.
Actually, some people might actually be that crazy.
Have you met me? That's literally the description of how things work in my mind. That's literally my explanation to how I explained a right-to-work kind of state. Is your shoe color is purple, I'm firing you. But they won't tell you that. They'll just say you have something performance.
Yeah.
Lower performance than necessary. And if they can't get away with that, they just simply say that they no longer need you and they need to lay people off.
Or if they, you know, don't really specify on uniform code, you have violated uniform code too many times.
Yep.
I've had places do that to me.
Right to work state.
No.
Sucks every time.
But basically, one of the ongoing themes of World of Darkness is at its core, no matter what you play, the worst enemy you could ever fight is humanity. Because humans can always be the worst.
They are the true monster.
Exactly. And hunters are humans with powers.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Which makes us even bigger monsters.
Every other type of supernatural is disconnected from humanity.
Especially corrupt ones.
Yeah.
And so, but hunters are the closest supernatural to humanity, which can work to their advantage and their disadvantage. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who hold down regular jobs. They're the ones who have families. They're the ones who live normal lives. But they're also the ones who go out and kill everything else.
Well, what are we talking about?
Hunters.
I'm basically reinforcing a lot of the...
Okay.
A lot of why
humans are violent. And especially to each other when they don't get what they want.
Okay. Yeah.
My brain is starting to hurt at this point. I'm understanding the information, but my brain like...
But yeah, that's what pretty much what this session was for, to explain Hunter so that you have this understanding of how Hunter works, what Hunters are, and how you are going to be going through this game.
Well, this is going to be an interesting motley crew.
Usually is.
Would that surprise anybody except for a few?
The only person it would surprise is Tyler, and that's because he hasn't met any of you yet.
I've never even seen him.
Oh, hey. You should.
The current situation with Tyler is very, very unpredictable. He just had a baby. They just had a baby. It was like, 9 months old now? So it's baby. And then on top of that, he just ended up back in the reserves for the Marines. And then on top of that, he's currently looking for a new job because we've all been aware that our job is ending in June.
Oh, because
contract being dropped.
Oh, for Securitas or
no. She doesn't even work for them. No, how about the Securitas contract getting dropped too? They're going to PAE.
They're getting bought out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the contract is.
I know that they got bought out at the mall recently.
The hell?
All-Star Americans.
Kaylee?
Oh.
Does it go that way?
Goes that way, then.
Yes.
Can you help?
Can you talk?
Yes. Trying to feed it through, because... That was actually part of a Christmas present I received. Those wipes and those markers so that I can actually use my whiteboard more.
So, we'll be lucky if we see Tyler once or twice. I don't think he'll actually play, but he'll hang out for maybe a few minutes. If I can get him out here. He's about as reliable as texting on the phone as your average Marine. They won't say anything if they forget. Or if they close the phone, they forgot that they got messaged. And they won't message you back until probably 3 weeks later.
My dad just is not a texter, so it's like, everyone else I communicate with is perfectly okay with texting. My stepdad, however, I have to try to remember, don't text, phone call.
Thank you.
I've met people like that.
We've had to deal with more than one Clorox wipe container that was stubborn.
I mean, look at the first group of hunters that we had, Josh.
Yeah, actually, well... To be honest, that was from more experienced players. That's not. I don't mean to be offensive to you guys, but the last time I ran was with
sort of new,
experienced,
semi-experienced, somewhere between.
Yeah, because all of, from my understanding, the two of you specifically and Isaac are new to role-playing games in general.
No, we were the new ones, and Isaac. She's played role-playing games before.
Star Wars, Brave New World, D&D.
All right, so, yeah, people who are... So, yeah, I understand that I'm dealing with people who are completely new. So, obviously, there are going to be some parts of the game that are going to be a little above you guys, but I still want to see how you react to them.
For the metagame.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's for the metagame.
Yes, because the metagame is going to be the culmination of everything we built up.
Maybe that might be in that one.
And obviously, as we've talked about, this Hunter game is disconnected from the meta.
Yeah, if it was connected to the meta in any way, that would... We would have to literally come up with why it's connected to the metagame.
Yeah, this one I specifically made to kind of like have fun in the Old West, and when we jump back into the regular World of Darkness games, then that'll be back in the regular continuity.
Which I
Our
believe
next game is being put where again?
Oh, the werewolf game is going to be somewhere in at the eastern edge of Washington State, in a very Twin Peaks-esque town.
Okay.
And
then mage game.
I haven't decided on an area for mage, but I'm going to do something similar that I did the last time I ran mage, which is a very beginner-friendly game to teach people the mechanics. Because mage has some of the most complicated and vague mechanics in all of role-playing.
Okay, put it in Indianapolis.
Quit reading my mind.
We've been doing it all day.
I was going to just say, put it somewhere in Michigan, because there's not a lot that goes on there.
You're on the wrong wavelength. No, the reason for Indianapolis is because it's the most oblivious state of people you'll ever meet, aside from Ohio. You walk down the street, they're the only place that the small towns, don't know what everybody's doing. And don't know where everybody is.
I mean, if you guys ever get the chance to meet any of my family, will understand how that part of the Midwest works. Because that's where they all grew up.
Here's a point of thinking. I still have family that live in Indiana. And majority of them don't even realize they're living within the vicinity of another DePalma. And the only reason I know that is because there are two people I got friend requests from. My dad's cousin and my dad's great aunt.
Easy to go in the trash.
Well, technically, it's great.
Well, because there's no bag in it, so
don't
worry
about
it.
Go for it. You dump it regularly.
Yeah, it's my dad's aunt.
Like every other day.
My great aunt. Donna and Romulus didn't even know they were sitting in the same fucking state. Didn't even know each other. And they were only 100 miles away from each other.
They are the densest of dense.
And it's like, okay, you're an oblivious fucking town of people.
I think for the mage game, I'd probably go with another high as fuck dude.
Yeah, from the coast. I want to do something different, man.
You know, you are the reason why things may get boring. If you do the same thing over and over again, then nothing changes.
I don't
go with something that's like out of your character.
I don't do the same thing over and over again, generally speaking.
You literally just said I may go with another high dude again.
Yes, but I don't do that very often. You could ask Josh. I really don't.
These wipes are really good.
Doesn't surprise me.
If you're gonna do a high dude, you should do a hippie. A modern hippie.
No, that was his last mage was a guy who ran an alternative medicine shop, and all of his magic was based on alternative medicine.
Basically, herbology.
Yep. Herbs, crystals, and such.
I can already tell you what my mage is going to be like.
Though,
you'd be surprised. Once you learn how the spheres work, you may end up having... And once you... Oh, yeah. And explaining paradigm and foci will probably take more than one session.
Yes.
Because, as I said, mage is super complicated and super vague. You can literally do anything as long as you can make it work.
Why was that my immediate first thought?
And we're going with modern day, right?
Get a projector.
Yeah.
And make it to where you can write down all the stuff and it projects on the wall.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
What?
Get a projector that I can literally like write stuff down on it on the wall.
Projects. I was literally thinking right above Derek's head.
That would make me move.
No.
You put it on the table and it projects onto the wall.
Simple Jerry rigging.
Simple laws of physics. Do you realize how a projector works? Do you realize what's going to happen? It's going to go meep because it's going to be angled.
Just put it on the ceiling then.
I'm okay with that.
But for the metagame, Josh, I'm still seriously thinking about my artificer.
Alright. Oh, and like, and between the mage game and the metagame, I want to run a couple of small games to showcase other parts of World of Darkness.
Can we do like another vampire game?
Well,
another, just a little one for fucks and giggles.
Actually, I was thinking something like that, except everyone's playing like elder vampires who are hearing about everything going on.
I am so up for that.
Because I'll
play another Malkavian that is the most tech savvy of them all.
She can play Malkavian particularly well.
I know.
Yeah, because the small games I'm thinking were Machine, the game line I created.
Yep.
So you get to kind of see what that's like. A non-werewolf shapeshifter game where you're playing as other were-animals.
Anasi. Fuck yes.
The only one I would ban is Rokea, because they
don't care.
Have a reason to work with everyone else.
And they wouldn't care. It's on land. They are strictly were-sharks, and if you're a were-shark that doesn't act like a fucking were-shark, you get lynched.
Yeah. Were-sharks are the most interesting of the were-animal bunch, but...
Then again, Macaulay could be fun as well.
Yeah, but they're
complicated.
And then, that Elders game. And then, after that, moving into the metagame to where you're seeing all this shit going on. And the metagame is going to be, like, the big and-all be-all, I'm not going to pull any punches game.
Like I said, that's where I'll play the artificer.
Huh? Cowboys the Damned?
Yeah.
Huh. So, maxing out at three dots? What kind of shit is that?
What?
Cowboys the Damned. Although I think it looks, yeah, it does.
No, Josh. You know what I could also go with? That'd be hilarious. Just to throw a wrench into everything. Play a demon who's ascending. Instead of descending.
High faith, low torment.
Yep.
There it is.
But we'd have to look at the demon book and how that works and everything about that.
Yeah, demon is complicated.
There you go.
Which is why I'm going to be reading through the book.
Because...
trying to understand them.
I'm going to take a screenshot of that and send it to me. I'm writing a version of the character sheet in my notebook. Pre-set up so I can ask my questions since we haven't had much of an information dump as I thought we were going to.
Granted, I actually thought this would take longer answering a bunch of people's questions. Now,
what are questions?
Well, because
we are dumb.
Actually, I expected people to like ask, well, okay, well, what is this about? How does this work? And
Josh, you're pretty good at explaining things for the most part.
Not only that, but we're not as incompetent as the average beginner. We do have at least an IQ amongst the rest of us of average as yours.
Not to mention the fact that you guys did just go through vampires, so you have a little bit more of an idea.
There is one thing I forgot to talk about. It's the hunter. It's the hunter's resource pool. While vampires have blood, hunters have conviction. Conviction? Now, this is where things get a little complicated. So, every creed has a base conviction. You're usually either three or four.
Judges are four.
No, it's Avengers, Waywards, and Martyrs.
Are four?
Yeah, everything else is three. Basically, the fighters.
That's interesting, too.
Cowboys the Long Dark?
Yeah.
Huh. The fact that it maxes out at 3 for attributes and abilities bothers me.
Yeah, it makes me worry about some things.
But as I said, I'm going to talk to a friend of mine and see if I can get a modified character sheet to replace some of the abilities. Because as I said, drive is replaced with ride, computers is replaced with culture, and three things that are not on the 20th edition version that are going to be in this are intuition, demolitions, and linguistics. But those are on the revised.
Okay.
Now, conviction, conviction is sort of a yo-yo. You're always spending and gaining it. In fact, literally, one of the things at the end of each session, on top of experience and willpower from your nature and demeanor, I look at you, I tell you if I feel you've been acting within your creed or not, and if you have, you gain a point of conviction.
Do you max at what cap you were given, or does it just keep gaining?
Well, once you hit 10 conviction, because 10 is the maximum for conviction, then at that point you can buy out, as it were, go back to your starting and gain a permanent point in one of your virtues. Because you spend virtue points to gain edges. Obviously, I'll go over this more in detail next week, like when you have your character sheet and we're looking at edges and stuff, but...
Do you have the Hermit book?
No, I don't have that one.
You'll have to download the PDF.
Luckily, the PDF is easy to get. No?
Yeah. I could probably send it to you over Gmail.
Hell, I have an entire folder for that stuff. Now, on Google Drive. Now, conviction, you can also spend conviction to activate a few different abilities hunters have innately. One is called Second Sight, which I talked about earlier.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, your Second Sight's on permanently. But now, the way Second Sight works, when you activate it, you see the monsters as monsters. You don't see what they are specifically, but you can tell innately what is human
almost
and
like
what is
Laura.
Not. Sort of, yeah. Instead of like being able to tell emotions and different stuff, it's binary. Human, not human.
So,
And hunters register each other as human.
Since technically we're going to be partners, mine's going to be on all the time as well.
Not entirely,
but at the same time.
It's the fact that she actually has, you're supposed to spend one of your starting virtue points on a first dot edge from your creed. In fact, your creed is basically, your creed and your virtue are the ones you have to focus on more. But, the first one for Wayward, the first deviance edge in part. I can't remember the exact ruling, but you can activate the second sight of every other hunter around you without them having to spend conviction. So basically, as I can't remember if she spends a conviction to activate it, but that would make sense.
I believe that they have to, yes.
That sounds logical.
Yeah, basically.
Didn't read it in there.
Yeah. Oh, because that's in the Wayward Creed book.
Okay, so
that's another one for you too.
You'll have to download the Wayward Creed book, but it also talks a lot of fluff and a lot of conversations about waywards. Mm-hmm. It covers the types of people that are waywards. Now, let's see. Conviction can also be spent on mental defense. When you activate your mental defense, alright?
Yeah. This is just dead.
Oh. We'll charge it when we get home.
Yes.
Now, we might want to put this away.
Okay.
Now, mental defense means that you are immune to all sorts of powers that can affect the mind, including, as I found out from the way it was reading, if a mage puts up, an illusion to make themselves look like they're not there, you see right through it. You pierce illusions and deceptions. That is the mental defense. And of course, you're immune to stuff like Dominate or the Mind Sphere or any sort, or like the Beast Mind Gift. Stuff that would mess with you mentally? No sell.
Alcavians?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think in some cases, Dementation would. I'd have to read about the rulings, but yeah. like the imbued can actually just straight up no-sell a lot of powers that affect the mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's another thing you can do. Gamble your conviction. Which, that can, usually people succeed when they do it because of the way it works, but there is a massive chance of failure. You can literally, essentially ante up, like, as much conviction as you have. Now, and you spend it on a edge. Basically, you're saying if you succeed in using that edge, you gain, basically, you gain back not only the amount that you spent, but also that much extra. You can literally max out your conviction in one go if you're clever enough, but if you fail that roll, that conviction you ended up gone. And if you put yourself to zero conviction, you actually have to spend time, basically, because you lose the will to hunt. You lose the drive, so you have to basically roleplay out your character is trying to essentially, well, dealing with that as you're...
Depression.
Yeah, you're basically mentally and spiritually you're having to recover from losing all of your conviction. Because normally it just goes back to your base. Now...
See, I never abused that with Troy Owens, man.
Now, I will say, because of the fact that conviction goes... I know it's represented as circles on the character sheet, but...
It's not entirely just circles.
It's more the... there's no boxes beneath them, but it's more the fact that because you're going to be spending and gaining and spending and gaining, my recommendation, do like a slash mark or something, because you're going to be constantly going...
Or keep a separate sheet.
Yeah,
because as I said, like I learned the hard way from the last Hunter game, conviction gets yo-yoed and hard. In fact, I can't remember, might have been Troy Owens, but in one session, someone actually almost ran the entire conviction spectrum in one session from all that they gained and spent.
That was Troy Owens. That was that fight with.
No, fever.
That was that fight with the vampire.
Yeah.
And lest you think... So, yes, you're human, and yes, you're human with special powers, but like I said, you throw the supernatural off their fucking game.
Yeah.
For instance, Troy Owens got into a throwdown with a vampire who slew werewolves as her livelihood, basically. He put such a stop to her... Just by his presence being there, and he's fucking human.
No, that was because your dice rolls for your armor absorbed all the bullets.
Well, yes, but again, a hunter can still do shit like that.
Yeah.
It throws people off.
Yeah.
Do you know the point system? Because I don't think
so. Actually, I wanted to bring that up to you guys. Technically, there's two ways I could do this. Now, in the book, you're supposed to get, I think it's 6-4-3 for attributes instead of 7-5-3, and I think 11-7-4 for abilities instead of 13-9-5. That's to represent that hunters are kind of the bottom of the barrel. Now, that is what is in the book, but in a couple of other books, they talk about other ways of doing it. In fact, one possibility is literally putting you guys at a similar level to everyone else with the whole 7-5-3-13-9-5. I'll leave it up to you guys whether you want to start lower or start at the average.
I like starting with the system that we're used to because we have a reference at the bottom of our sheets to look back on.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, some of that stuff will change, but like the freebie points you get, how many background points you get. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a whole thing with virtues.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Yeah, because you always start with 3 virtue points. At least, well, your primary virtue has to be either the highest or tied for the highest.
Has to be tied for the highest.
So I'm saying that from the book it says it has to be either the highest or tied for the highest.
Yeah.
So you could have one of each and it still counts.
Yes. Yeah, you can have 1 vision, 1 mercy, 1 zeal. You could go 3 vision, 2 vision, 1 mercy, 2 vision, 1 zeal. Like, there's a lot that you can do with the virtues, especially since as you keep gaining conviction, that's how you buy more virtue points. And I typically say when you buy virtue points, I typically go over with you, well, what is your reason for getting more vision, more mercy, more zeal? Basically, as are you acting within your virtue, or are you starting to let another virtue spill in? Because there are characters who have all three. There are characters who have only one.
For instance, who was a good example of all three?
Tom.
Tom was, yeah.
Tom's judge had zeal, vision, and mercy because of the fact that he balanced he kept everything fairly balanced because of the way his character was.
Whereas conversely, Troy Owens was purely mercy.
With a little bit of zeal.
At the end there.
Mm-hmm. Now.
So, the points like for attributes could be either the one that you stated or the one that we used for vampire.
Yeah, because in the Hunter core book, it says 6-4-3, but the standard for World of Darkness is 7-5-3. This is because of the fact that Hunters based on the fluff for Hunter, you are supposed to be weak. This game is almost supposed to be like survival horror.
Hunger Games?
Worse than that.
I'd say more like Deadliest Game, except the people...
Let's see, hold on, something that you would know.
Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, because I'm...
She wouldn't know that.
Oh, shoot.
It's sad that you don't know the most dangerous game.
I'm a literal under the rock kind of person. My gaming experience.
Okay, no, it's the rocks actually the most dangerous game is a book.
It's the humans hunting humans thing.
Basically, humans hunting other humans for sport.
I do know that game. I do know that book because there's a short story version of it, a clip of it that was basically compressed of it for one of our essays that we were going over in one of our GVCs for English.
That's right.
Our most dangerous game. Yeah. The guy who basically collected people and brought them to his island and then prepared them for the most dangerous hunt.
Now, I will say, according to the fluff, it's like Most Dangerous Game, except the people hunting you are world-renowned superheroes. So, basically, you're regular people having to fight the Avengers. That's sort of what the fluff implies.
Sudden thought. Deadpool?
Oh, God.
That's what the artwork represents. Because, seriously, in one of the pages in there, there's, like, a picture of a guy stabbing a werewolf through the stomach with a fucking spoon. No, actually, that's an Avengers thing.
Deadpool.
Like I said, I'm both a wayward and an adventurer, but I have more wayward tendencies.
So you probably have vision and zeal.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially since you could easily justify getting the one dot vengeance edge cleave. And the way cleave works, you basically activate it. I can't remember if you...
You have to spend a point of conviction to activate it.
And then basically any weapon you're holding deals +2 damage and all the damage it deals is aggravated.
Which means they can't soak.
But technically only... The object stays intact for whatever its durability rating would normally be. Like a spoon, you're basically going to go right through a werewolf, and that spoon is going to disintegrate.
Yeah, because you basically charge like supernatural heat into the object, because it literally glows.
Whereas like a machete can handle 4, 5, maybe 6 times hitting something.
The points for ability.
Now, in the book, it says, 11.7.3, I think, but since you guys wanted to go with the standard World of Darkness array, 13.9.5. Now, for backgrounds, Hunter, if you're going for the more advanced one, Hunter is the same as Mage, so 7 background points.
Yes.
Okay, let's see, and it's 21 freebies instead of 15, because that is a consistent thing with Hunter. Is mortals get more freebie points than the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ghouls, hunters, and regular mortals get 21. Everyone else gets 15.
What about kinfolk?
Oh yeah, kinfolk get 21 as well, but who wants to play a kinfolk?
Yeah, kinfolk can be fun. They get their own unique gifts and rituals.
They also get shit on by everyone else.
That's true. Unless you're a Get Offenders kinfolk, then you get really shit on if you can't match a Get Offenders werewolf.
Okay, so I'll go over that more in detail next week, but essentially you have 3 points in virtues, and the edge, you spend virtue points equal to the level of the edge to acquire it. Basically, you put like a little X next to the virtue, like on there. Like in that example character sheet, they show that you put that X there to represent that you've spent that virtue point. You're obviously going to have to spend one in vision, because you're getting clave, that's going to be one in zeal. And you have a third point you can put elsewhere.
Whether, okay.
And you can save that up for another vision, for like the two level, the second level edge in your line, or you can spend it on another level one edge, or put in mercy and get a level one mercy edge. Even though that wouldn't make sense for your character.
This is going to be interesting.
Why would I give any mercy?
Exactly. So, I'd say...
Oh,
so,
the mercy.
So, I would recommend for your character, for your virtue points, 2 vision, 1 zeal.
Yeah, I've already planned on that.
Now, whether you spend that second vision point on getting one of the visionary level 1 edges, the hermit level 1 edge, or saving it to where you can get the second level wayward edge... That's up to you.
I'm ready to go 3 straight into my vision to begin with.
Makes sense, you're a hermit. And obviously since, well, I'm not sure if you took a look at the edges, but visionaries can get some broken shit.
So,
especially once you max out vision.
And then
visionary
my last question is, what are the rules for merits and flaws?
I'm going to follow a similar rule that I use in all of my games. Your first 7 points in flaws are 1 for 1. Everything past that is 2 for 1. Basically, you can buy as many flaws as you want, but I do want to look over the list. As I said, you can pull from whatever PDFs you can find, whatever books, as long as they make sense.
Question, is the 2 in the flaws while 1 is in the merits?
Oh, merits are always 1 for 1. Merits are always 1 for 1.
Basically, you remember how I did it? Mm-hmm. If you take 7 points of merits and you take 7 points of flaws, you cancel each other out. That's basically the same thing that he's doing. But if you go past those first 7, let's say you take 2 points of merits past the first 1, in order to cancel that out, you have to have 4 points of flaws.
Okay.
Once you get past the 7, then it goes for 2 for 1. But that's, yeah. So, but yeah, as long as the merits and flaws make sense, like, I obviously don't pull, like, fucking vampire exclusive or mage exclusive merits and flaws.
Blackhand membership.
Yeah. That's a background.
Flush of
health. Exactly.
And, you know, obviously some of your merits and flaws will have to be, like, justified in your backstory, like mine were.
Now, I will say, the Hunter Player's Guide has, like, all the normal shit for, like, regular people. To like literally one of the merits in Hunter is paid mortgage.
Huh.
That's an actual fucking merit. That
I mean,
let's see.
My character has a mortgage.
Basic, but that's the type of stuff they have. Like balding is a 1 point flaw. Let's see. They're like
oh,
they. Yeah, that's actually one of the flaws.
What?
Alimony, there's wanted by law enforcement. That's another one.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's see, what was the one that
I...
can't
take that.
...with the kids?
I
can't remember whether it was a merit or a flaw.
With your kids, I think it was a flaw. But
yeah.
We'd have to go over that. But yeah, like,
yeah,
the Hunter Player's Guide has merits and flaws for normal people. Which is hilarious.
Be a good way to make human NPCs.
Man, wouldn't it be insane if I have one crazy fucking animal with me?
Oh God!
Hey,
I
restrained myself with the last game.
I get the feeling that you're gonna be limited to like a dog or a horse.
You've seen what I can do a dog and human.
So
I know the capabilities of a dog.
Make sure you take animal ken then.
Yeah, I might actually have
I will definitely be taking animal ken being a horse rancher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be taking a flaw where most animals detest me.
Yeah,
that's gonna be interesting.
Offensive to animals, I think, is a flaw in another book.
That would be for the variants.
Yeah.
The flaws
actually, They have a merit called inoffensive to animals because they normally are offensive to animals.
Yeah, but being doubly offensive, come on.
That'd be him.
No, at that point, you're going to, like, mage curse shit.
Yeah, I'll take offensive to animals.
You're
but
a vampire.
Like,
so what, how many
points I registered
an animal can do I have to have in order to have a well-trained, well-in-tune canine?
To start off, I think that might be a merit. I'd have to look it up, but like as I said, do some exploring, do some research on your own, because next session, next week, is going to be building the characters on paper.
I don't do this research thing. What's this research?
Oh,
you
fucking
liar?
Shit!
I do recall we have just spent the past 3 weeks.
When it comes to gaming, no.
Those first in books.
You bull fucking shit.
But yeah, look up different stuff about Hunter.
This is the most research I've done for any game, is sitting here listening to somebody talk at me about a game.
Okay, so crafts.
Shall we bring up Skyrim?
Are we keeping crafts?
I haven't done any research on that.
Crafts is consistent across
that.
All the games.
So if I said dog training was my craft, like a hobby.
No. Craft is in making.
Craft.
This
not.
Would be a craft.
But
like,
I make dogs do this. Is
no.
You don't literally
not.
Make, like, forge dogs out of fire and clay. Yeah, you're not fucking. You're not a great god.
That don't work.
You're not. Yeah, you may be able to pull that off in mage, but not here.
Gunsmithing.
Yes, in fact, there's actually a few NPCs who have gunsmithing.
I won't, but I'll have Arsenal 5.
Can you catch?
Yeah, this is not going to end well.
I
was
watch out
was.
For the Maya.
Because I will have I will have my cannon in my house.
This one has demolitions.
Yeah, the revised version does. The 20th and the fan-made 20th edition sheet for Hunter doesn't. But I'm going to see if I can get a friend of mine to modify that one, because I'm going to print off the 4-page version of that.
Yeah, I saw that. I like that.
Yeah, from Mr. Gone?
Yeah.
That's the one I want to use, but I'm going to get a buddy of mine to modify it.
Photoshop is nice.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how to use it.
I do.
I can. Actually, if you can do that, that'd be awesome.
I don't have actual Photoshop quite yet.
Oh.
But I can do stuff with
it. He knows how to use it.
Yeah, because... Yeah, because there's only a few things I want done with the character sheet, mostly modifying abilities.
Yeah.
But beyond that, everything else
is
fine. All I have
to do is know what kind of text I need, and I'll be able to do it.
Yeah, because looking at it, like, finding the right font shouldn't be that hard.
Josh,
yeah.
I plan on having Resource 5, paid mortgage as a merit, and I'm going to have Arsenal 5.
Did they even have mortgages back then?
Yep.
Yes.
That's what you took out on your lands.
Okay.
Yeah, and plus it's 1898, so it's a far more modernized West. Mostly thanks to the technocracy.
Well, not only that, you're starting to head full force into the industrialization era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By this time, London has started becoming industrialized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is pretty much like one of the last bastions of the so-called true West.
And
technology is being replaced with what?
Technology is staying.
Computers is being replaced.
Yeah.
Computers and driver being replaced. And because on the 20th anniversary edition, there's two open spaces at the bottom, I was going to fill one of those on each. Intuition for talent, demolitions for skill, and linguistics for knowledge.
Okay,
so those are already listed in here. So computers just being replaced.
With culture.
Culture. Okay.
So go ahead and just DM everything you need.
Yeah.
Probably make it in and then send it out to you.
Actually, yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, if you want the list of everything...
That's what I just need.
Yeah, I'll send that. Okay, you already know which sheet I'm talking about, so I won't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to print off a...
Okay, make sure that it is the right one I'm thinking of.
The H20 character sheet from Mr. Gone.
Like this one or no?
That's not the one I was thinking of, but because there is like a Hunter 20th anniversary edition family sheet. But for that one, let's see. I'll also type it on.
The reason my character would have a K canon is because he also is a collector at this point. I mean, when you're rich, you become a collector for whatever reason. I'm so glad Troy Owens is not a part of this campaign, though, Josh.
Yeah, he hasn't even been born yet.
Nope. I can.
There.
Okay.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the full list of what I need done. So, let's see. Because I will recognize the sheet as soon as I see it. But yeah, next week we'll go through and I will write down the stuff that you guys do for your character concepts. Although the fact that I have your creeds means this will be a lot easier. I can write those down. We'll go with backgrounds next time as we build the characters.
And I'll talk to Isaac, see what if he has any idea yet.
If you want to talk to him, basically let him know a little bit of what's been going on. Because no offense, I don't want to have to go through the entire spiel twice.
We also have a recording.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Have
him listen to the recording as well.
Plus, we can send him a picture of my notes here.
Yeah.
So
he won't exactly be left out. Okay. Not as behind as he was for Vampire.
He also joined you pretty late for Vampire.
Really late.
Yeah.
But, that's okay.
Got
for Hunter, he will hopefully be there. Mostly at the beginning.
Oh, because he actually has his own website.
Yeah, but it's when you don't have to pay anything as well. You get actually a lot for it.
Well, we got our three visionaries, a defender, and a redeemer, right? So we have three vision, one zeal, one mercy so far. Sounds like
the Times New Roman.
Sounds like the beginning of a character concept right there. Three vision, one seal, one mercy.
It'd be interesting. Kind of looks like the bottom looks more like a vampire, too.
Okay. Because I went to Mr. Gong's website specifically because there's like the V20 Hunt of the Reckoning 4-page interactive sheet.
Do you want a cookie?
No. Not right now.
Yeah, because the one I'm thinking of has basically like the two empty spaces at the bottom.
Okay.
Would a wayward be given a derangement?
I mean, not right off the bat.
But eventually, correct?
Basically, according to canon, once you hit 7 in any one virtue, you get an automatic derangement.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and derangements in World of Darkness are very penalizing, which is kind of depressing.
That may be so.
Basically, it's implying that hunters are... It feels like the devs were implying that hunters were essentially doomed to become what they fought and fail.
Yeah, so I'll probably spend this next week reading through the books and maybe, at least to flesh out my backstory, looking at some merits of laws to...
Yeah.
Kind of, that way I can start fleshing out my backstory to... You know, match the merits and flaws I'll be taking.
Yeah. That sheet along with the changes that I sent you.
I just thought of something, Josh.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get 10 in all three virtues?
Yeah, but you're going to have derangements out the ass, and you're going to be one of the most powerful hunters who ever existed, but, you know, you'll have so many derangements that functioning will be almost impossible. As I said, rules as written, The game really hates you.
I actually don't know that I'll make my character 30 years old. I might make him 25.
That's what I'm going for mine. So I'll have to figure how far back parents immigrated from, because her mother was, I'm doing it as her mother was pregnant when they immigrated, and she's the oldest of her siblings.
Well, if the game is taking place in 1898, 1873 would be when the character would be born.
That does make sense.
Is there a thing with my character?
Mm-hmm. Now I gotta think of a good name.
Name? I am going to basically put this character together as if the Mulcavian is putting it together.
Well, it's like, I actually looked up for my character, you know, like, different, like, family names and stuff. And for the most part, you know, she'll go with the pronunciations of, you know, like, the American pronunciations.
American,
but spelling-wise, she's going with the old traditional Gaelic spellings.
Nice and cool. Science, technology.
Yeah, linguistics.
And there was actually no
the extra
Americanized.
There is a way to do it.
For the for at least her first
name. I think we're saying switch it.
There is
no,
you know, American version of Eiling. It's a very
Victor.
It's a
Hammerhead.
Very uncommon Irish baby girl name.
Is going to be his name.
Okay.
He's going to be 25.
Yeah, and that looks like Times New Roman.
Does she need a different name other than her slut name?
I mean, only if you want to.
Backstory purposes.
Yeah, backstory might need it.